Lord Jesus, we just ask now that you would come and anoint the word, Lord Jesus. Anoint me to speak it. Anoint the ears to hear it, the hearts to receive it, Father. Just, Lord, let it be pure. Let it be holy. Let it be straight from your heart to ours, Lord. Let it have the effect that it's supposed to have, that you promised it would. You said it will not return void. But, Lord, it will accomplish that which is sent for. So tonight, Lord, in this little group, this little church, in this little town, Lord, Lord, be a reality. Just be real to us, Father. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. If you want to read one scripture, we're going to turn to the first chapter of Genesis. We're kind of picking up from where we ended on Sunday. Just taking it a little bit different direction, but picking right from there. Genesis 1, and we're going to start at verse 11. And God said, let's just stop right there. God said, so this is eternal. What he's saying is everlasting, is eternal. It cannot be changed. This is God's will. This is his perfect will. He said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. You may be seated. He wants the seed to bring forth after his own kind. Bring it forth after his own kind. He said, his seed is within him. The seed is in there. When you come forth, the seed is in there, brother and sister. And God said, let it bring forth after its own kind. That's been the problem all the way down. It's always people want to get off the word because that's a human nature. Ever since the fall, brother and sister, and Eve came forth as a byproduct, and so she was not the pure spoken word of God, and so she could fall. She had the ability, and she did, because she got off the word, and she was no longer bringing forth seed after its own kind. It was supposed to be the word of God. She mixed it with a different word. And that has been the battle ever since. We talk all the time about the greatest battle ever fought. Greatest battle ever fought, and we know we're going through it because our minds are going crazy sometimes, and we go through stuff that just tears us up, and we have all this stuff happen. We're fighting more demons, we're fighting more spirits, we're fighting more relatives, we're fighting more everything else than any age because we are going through the greatest battle ever fought. And the point is, the main point of that battle is keep the word straight. That's the greatest battle. The rest of it is just other parts of it. But the greatest battle is we need to keep the word pure. Everything else is secondary. Is the word pure? That's what matters. That's the greatest battle. And we are in an age right now where that is the hardest to do that it's ever been because there is so much deception that looks just like it almost. Almost. And it can produce just like it, almost. But what did Brother Branham say to do? He said, give it the word test. And what we do with that? We took the word test to mean that as long as you agree with what I believe, then you pass the test. That is not the word test. The word test has nothing to do with what your mind thinks. It's not about, well, this preacher preaches that way and that one that way, so we got to decide between these two which is closest. That ain't the word test either. Brother and sister, the word test is simply this. What was God's interpretation of that word? What did he mean by it? And he interprets it by bringing it to pass. So it's not just a doctrine. It's the word living. Do you see that living? Because that is God's interpretation. Do you see that happening? There's the word test. It makes it so simple. You don't have to sit there and be smart. You don't have to sit there and know all the doctrines and all the quotes and all the scriptures. You need to know those things because you need to know when it comes to pass. But putting them in order and putting them in place and doing all that is not important. What matters is when you see that happening, when you see that word for your day acting out, when you see it manifesting something, do you recognize it? And you say, I know that is true because that is God's interpretation of it. That's all it is. Don't make it any harder than that. Yeah, but Brother Phil, you got to see it this way. Let me tell you what. The ministry's job is to preach it straight. And if they do, then that will produce Christ. to, because the life is in that seed. That word is a seed that when spoken, and when a heart that's been predestinated to believe, it's not in your mind. Your faith in your mind is not keeping it straight. It is in your soul, and that seed in your soul cannot sin, and it only recognizes the true word, and it will only believe the true word. And when that word is preached and it goes into that soul that's been predestinated, it will come to life every time. It can't help it, because that's the word of God. He said, let every seed bring forth after its own kind. Hallelujah. There's nothing to fear, little bride. It's your Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom. That also has to manifest. That's also the word of God. Now, what are you afraid of? Amen. I tell you what, you get out of the word sometime, you get out of that atmosphere, and you go look around the world a little bit, and you get and watch the news, or you get on the internet and look what's happened, and it'll terrify you. Oh yeah, if your hope is in this country, if your hope is in the things of the world, if your hope is in something you can do, and your dollar, and your job, and your love affair, or whatever you're doing, whatever your idol is, if your hope is in there, you need to be scared to death. Oh yeah, you need to be scared to death. Because brother and sister, it's terrifying out there, but it is your Father's good pleasure. Oh, he takes pleasure in it. He says, I can't wait to give you the kingdom. That's what he wanted the whole way through. He just wants to be one with you. Oh my, he just said, just love me. That's all I ever asked for. Will you just love me? Haven't I proven how much I love you? Haven't I shown it? Haven't I displayed my love? Look what I brought you through. Surely you can trust me by now. Surely you know I'm going to take care of you. Surely you see the things I brought you through. Surely you're going to trust me. Don't you love me? I always ask. He said, it's my pleasure. I take great pleasure in you because I waited for you for so long. So long. I've looked all the way down through time, all the way before time. I've been looking for you. I've been waiting for you. Let me say something else. Anytime you get this gospel off of being a love story, get back on the love story. Because you're off. If it becomes anything besides a love story, you're missing the point. Yeah, but I'm living holy enough. Whoop-de-doo. But I believe all the right doctrines. Wonderful. Have you taken his seed into a heart that's predestinated to bring forth life? That's all. Don't get more complicated than that. Don't get more religious than that. Just fall in love with him. It's the greatest battle, brothers and sisters, just to keep it straight, because Satan will offer you everything that you desire in your flesh. He will offer you everything you can imagine to try to get you off the word. And sometime, temporarily, we take him up on that. That's when we stumble. And then you know what you do? You repent, you get back up, and you say, I'm sorry, I'm going on. It's really that simple. That's all he's looking for. That's all. Keep focused. Keep focused. Wow. Eve. Before she ever did the physical act, she took the seed in her heart, in her mind, right? That's where she sinned. And then sin, the attributes of sin, follow that. That's where Satan gets us. He gets our mind off on one thing, and then we follow that. And then when it comes to something spiritual, you take that seed and you get that, and you let that drop into your heart, because that's what we want. Our natural self wants to be religious, wants to be saved, wants a comfortable religion and a comfortable church to go to. Our natural self desires those things. So when you talk to someone, don't you want to be saved? Yeah, I want to be saved. Don't you want to go on the rapture? I sure do. Don't you believe the message? I sure do. What are you doing? I'm going all I can to go on the rapture. But when it comes to keeping the seed straight, their soul don't want it because it's not the right soul. An unregenerated soul wants to be saved, but it wants a seed that it likes. Eve liked what Satan was preaching to her through the serpent. And the same thing happens today. We have message churches full of people who really, really like what the preacher is saying all the time. Now, I hope you like what the preacher is saying, but sometime your mind, your old nature, it just ain't gonna like it. That's called chastening. And if you accept the chastening of the Lord, that's a really, really good sign that you are His. And if you can't accept it, it's a really good sign that you've been birthed to the wrong birth by a wrong seed. My voice is just about shot. I just got started. I don't know where that came from. Maybe Satan don't want me to preach. I don't care. We're going to preach anyways. Listen to this. Brother Bram says this. Did not Jesus say, whosoever looketh on a woman has committed adultery with her already in his heart? Why? He let it come into his mind. That's the womb. It starts the thing moving. Satan come in. We are sowed with the word. Got into the mind first. That is where that battle is. He's trying to tell you, you know what? If you accept this, it's going to be good. If you accept this, you don't have to go through that. If you just accept this, you don't have to listen to what Brother Jerry's preaching. My goodness sake, why don't he just get off his high horse sometime? And you just got to go over here, and it's going to be so much more comfortable. And my goodness, you can just enjoy church for a change. Doesn't everyone want to just enjoy church for a change? Well, I tell you what. Let me ask you this. What is more enjoyable in church than after Jesus Christ comes and speaks and brings a chastening and you humble yourself and you accept it and he comes in and just wraps you in his arm? Have you ever enjoyed anything more than that in your life? No, you haven't. There's nothing like it. When you know that you've accepted the word, you've accepted it, even though your flesh didn't like it, and you stood there and you sat there and you say, yes, but it's still the truth. Be it unto me. Forgive me. And then he comes and he just lets you know, I'm really proud of you right now. I'm pleased with you. What more do you want? What kind of accolades do we want? Who do we want to agree with us? Who do we want to make like us more than that? There's nothing. You don't know what I'm talking about. You've been there. There's nothing like it. What is it? Satan trying to plant that in your mind so you'll let it drop down and try and bring unbelief in your soul. But the good thing is, brother and sister, it can't happen anymore. It's too late. Whatever he puts in your mind, if it's not the word, it's going to try to drop down there. And there's a big plug right there in that little channel called the Holy Ghost. And it can't get through there. It's already been closed off. Impossible. You cannot be impregnated by that word because your womb is already shut. I tell you what, when Satan comes and starts giving you a hard time, remind him of that. You can put all the thoughts in my mind you want, you old lion slicker, but you cannot even touch Judge Donna, my soul, because it's already closed off. What are you going to do now? Well, I'm going to torment you. Yeah, you do. You got a few more days. You got a little short time. He can torment us. It's his privilege. Because we are sold into the sin by our father Adam. But we've been bought out of that too. By our spiritual father Jesus Christ. He said, Satan can't come in. We are sold with the word. Someday I'll bring the life into the earth and replenish the earth. Someday I'll bring the life into the earth and replenish the earth. Now, he's not just talking natural. He's talking spiritual. He's going to bring the life into this earth and replenish this earth. You might as well just believe it. What Eve failed to do, Mary did. She took the word. Eve took Satan's lie. Mary took God's word. And through Mary's seed, replenishes the earth again through his bride, through the word, and will bring up the millennium. Do you hear what he just said? Let me just read it again. He said, through Mary's seed, replenish the earth again through his bride, through the word, and will bring up the millennium. He is replenishing this earth through his bride. When we read these things, when we hear these things, let's just stop saying, well, you know what? That bride, she's sure going to be wonderful. What do you mean gonna be? How come you're putting it off into the future? Why not just start claiming it for what it is right now? Because that's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for someone to take him at his word and said, be it unto me. I will replenish this earth. This word will replenish it through this flesh. But you know what we tend to do over the years? We see that and say, yes, sir, that's me, boy. Watch me go. And we go out there and we try to do it our own self. And what do you do every time? You fall flat, totally blow up. Why? It's beyond our ability. You can't do it on your own. I cannot do this. And the quicker that we get to that point where we get rid of all our ability, all our trying, all that we think we can do, all our confidence in our own self, then God can take us in his hand and say, finally, now stand back and watch the glory of the Lord. Watch the hand of the Lord. You know all he wants you to do? He says, speak and go forward. That's all he's asking for. Just speak the word and keep going forward. Oh, my. So I come to a Red Sea experience. My enemy's coming up. They're ready to kill me. I cannot go forward. What am I going to do? You're going to do what God said to do. He says, quit crying about it. Speak and go forward. All he wants. Watch the water part before you. Watch him open up. Just like this right down through here, the middle of this church. You got pews on both sides, but there's an easy path right through the middle. Now, if I was coming over here and trying to walk through that, I'd be climbing over pews, and you know it's going to take me forever in my own ability. But when I'm walking in God's ability, I just walk forward and it just happens before me. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen that happen. Something that's impossible. And all of a sudden, they're just a way right through it, and you just go right through. And everyone else says, well, what about this? Well, what about this? Well, what about that? And this is going on, and you just walk right through it. And the devil tries to follow you. He gets drowned in the aftermath. Through that goes forth the word, and the word is planted into every predestinated heart. And the Spirit comes down and waters it, and they cannot die. I'll raise them up again at the last days. Now listen, that word goes into the heart, and the Spirit comes down and waters it. That's what the water is given for, is to water the word. That Spirit that comes, brother and sister, so many people that like the Spirit, they like to play with their gifts, they like to play in the Spirit, they like to be anointed, they like to just have wonderful church service, and we sing and we shout and we pray, and the Spirit comes, anoints us, and all that's wonderful, brother and sister, but if that's not anointing that word in your heart, it's not doing you a bit of good. It's just anointing you. That's why you have so many lukewarm Laodicean message churches, because the Spirit come down to anoint the word, but there's no word in the soul to anoint. It's some kind of a hybrid affair. And the best you can do is produce a lukewarm experience, a denominational inheritance. It's got to be pure word. It has to be. Let every seed bring forth that just kind. And when you mix the word, it brings death. Every time. How does it bring death? Because it cannot reproduce itself. That first generation might look good. Brother Branham talked about corn. You get hybrid corn in that first generation. You put it together and it's beautiful. And you can look around. Look over the past 20 or 30 years around the message. And some minister rises up and he gets a whole congregation. And everyone's like, woo, look at that. Boy, people are flocking to it. And a few years down the road, what happens? They're dwindling. They're dying out. They're weeding out. And they're just kind of going on yesterday's, last year's, whatever experience. Why? Because it was hybrid to begin with. It did not have any life to keep that life moving. I'm not talking about the number of people in the church. I'm talking about the life they're living. You might still have 600 people in your church or however many you want to have, but if the life they're living has become lukewarm, I could name out right now. I'm not going to, but give a name. But there's a situation several years ago when we were still over in Pond Community, and the minister was going around, and he was preaching this such a powerful, charismatic ministry, and people were just like, whoa, they were just coming to Christ, and things were going on. And if you look at that now, you just see the same people just sitting there trying to live on that past experience, trying to drum it up, trying to have something going forward. And it was hybrid. He had taken some of the word and some of his own idea and mixed it together, and that first generation was wonderful. And now it's just another lukewarm church, the last I heard. What about your experience? Can you look at your life and say, you know what, at one time I was closer to God than I am now. One time I loved him more. I'm not talking about getting in church and running around and screaming and shouting and getting anointed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your love for Jesus Christ. Was it ever stronger than it is now? Were you ever felt closer? Fix it. He's still there. He wants that relationship. He wants it to grow. But if it's not, that's not because he pulled away from you, brother and sister, because you got too busy with things. Cares of the world. Briars and thorns and rocks. And maybe when you get to church, you don't allow the ministry to pull all that stuff out. Sometimes we get our own little ideas and our own little thoughts, our own little emotions. Let me give you an example. A couple days ago, in the United States Senate, I believe, there was four bills that came up. They want to enact these four laws into place for gun control because of what happened in Orlando. So they wanted to pass these laws to make it harder for people to get guns. The reality is, not one of those laws they're going to pass would have kept that guy from getting a gun. And because these laws are non-effective and they, in fact, take away your constitutional rights without making you any safer, enough level-headed, by very small margin, but enough level-headed people defeated those bills. And so what the people did in favor, they decided, we're going to have a sit-in. So they're sitting there on the floor in Congress and they're chanting. Well, they quit by now. They couldn't even last a whole day. But they're chanting, shame, shame, shame. Trying to shame these people and to go ahead and pass these laws. Why? Because they did not have any reasoning. They didn't have any intellectual backing. They didn't have anything to back it up except an emotional appeal. All they're doing is trying to appeal to people's emotions and shame them. They could not get up and say, this will make this country safer. So they had to go to an emotional appeal. That is what happens in so many church services. When a minister gets up and he's trying to get people fired up, or he's trying to get people to the altar because he thinks it's make his ministry effective, and they try to get you involved in some kind of emotional appeal. Get you all tore up, or get you feeling bad, or get you feeling sorry, or get you whatever. Brother and sister, that ain't it. And when I said it's a love affair with Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about an emotion. It's not because you feel something, brother and sister. It's because you believe something. It's been revealed to you. My. Satan will get in your emotions and drive you totally insane. So be aware of that liar. Now the womb, Eve received the wrong seed word. She received the wrong word. What did it do? It was Satan's lie. Said she'd be wise. Why, she could belong to the big church. She'd be well thought of in the city. Why, she'd be like the rest of the people. That's exactly what Jehovah's Bride believed. Exactly what Satan would have tried to have said when the word came to Mary. But she shook him away. Satan knows to try to appeal to our fleshly desires. It is incredibly strong. Incredibly strong. He knows when we're weak. He knows when to attack. He knows what to put in place. He knows how to set up a trap. And then he comes and he springs a trap and he says, you know, Brother Paul, you can have that attitude. I mean, goodness sakes, you deserve better.
brother Phil, he's so disrespectful sometimes. You deserve to hold a grudge against him.
And you know what? He might absolutely be right. But it ain't according to the word. And you know what happens? You think about that a second, and you might even act on it sometime. But then what happens is, oh my goodness, that is not who I am. I repent, I turn from that, and that never got any further than right here. It did not get any further down because there's no way for it to go. But when you see a person who's not born again, and that can get in there, and it can grow, and it can root. Now, that thing can grow in your mind all over the place, but it can't get down here if you're born again. But when you see it get down in there and people, and they end up rejecting the word over it, there's a problem. You see that? When you see someone who the word is preached to over and over and over, and finally they just can't take it anymore, and they say, well, this just ain't for me. They get up and leave. It's because they got that unbelief down here, and they refuse to get it preached out of them. Oh, my. Don't let me ever get to that point. God have mercy. Don't let me ever get there. All right. He said, Satan would have tried to have said that word. I'm sorry. That's exactly what Satan would have tried to have said when the word came to Mary. But she shook him away. She said, how can this be? Gabriel said, you're going to have a child. And what did they, Mary, obviously, she's going to think, well, how can that be? I've not been with a man. I can't have a baby. Said, the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. It's the word of God. And what did she say? Be it unto me according to thy word. That brought the life. There you are. He said, well, how can I go into rapture? How can it be me? With all the faults I have, with all the problems, I've tried to live a good life and look at the mess I'm in. How can it be me? And the word comes and says, because you've been predestinated to it. It's the word to you. You're going to be called and you've been chosen. It is for you. And what did you say? Okay. All you can do then is just thank God and go, I accept it. But what do we try to do? Okay, God, you call me. Now I need to get to the altar and pound and scream and shout and be religious. And I need some kind of anointing. And I need to start living really, really super holy and tell everyone else how holy I live. And my goodness sakes, make sure no one sees my mistakes. That ain't being unto me. That's me trying to produce it. Can you imagine if Mary would have gone out and tried to produce it? She would have had to go get Joseph. We need to get married right away. What would it have done? It would have crossed up the seed and then it would have never happened. Oh, he said, that little rosy-cheeked girl doesn't pay attention to that. I'm sorry, I skipped a part. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. That brought the life. There you are. Well, did you know Satan said, they'll all laugh at you. Boy, ain't that something. You mean I got to act like that? I got to go to that church. People are going to think weird about me. They're going to have all these ideas. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to make fun of you. Mm-hmm. That little rosy-cheeked girl didn't pay any attention to that. Right up in Judea, she went, and you know, I'm going to have a baby. She just went telling people, I'm going to have a baby. Before she felt anything. Oh, my. We like going by feelings, don't we? Let's go by that feeling once. I didn't feel anything, but I'm still pregnated. I didn't feel anything. I'm still healed. Well, you're going by a feeling. Yes, the lack of it. I'm going by the lack of feeling, but God's word said it, and so I'm going to confess it. I don't care what happens. You know, Satan will come and say, well, you're going to look like a fool if it don't happen. All right. Then I'll look like a fool. If I believe God spoke to me, he revealed to me, and if I'm wrong, hey, I was wrong. God's word wasn't wrong. I'm wrong. We're so afraid. What if someone thinks you're wrong? Well, I guarantee you they think you're wrong. Who are you trying to please? I'm going to have a baby before she felt anything because the word had already been set there. That was all. She didn't have to go through the prayer line the second time. No, sir, she believed it. You know why people had to go through the prayer line the second time? Because they didn't go up in faith the first time. Now, don't get me wrong. If you feel as though, and you just, you know, mental faith, you only get prayed for, that's fine. But recognize the difference between mental faith and a revelation. Sometimes you need to come up to be prayed for just to get that revelation. Let God drop that into your heart. That's perfectly good. That's what you're supposed to do. It's a desire of your heart to be healed or to be delivered or whatever you need. Come up, pray for it. But then, brother and sister, when God gives you the revelation, my, when he drops that in your heart and you know it was God speaking to you, then don't you dare go through that prayer line again. Don't you dare confess anything else. If you know God spoke it to you, then you stand on that no matter what. Because if you don't, now you're doubting. Well, how do I know? Well, brother and sister, it's really late in the day not to know the voice of God speaking to you. That's between you and him. I can't tell you how he's going to speak to you. I don't can't tell you how you're going to know. I would suggest you find out. And I don't know why I'm saying this. You all know. It's easy to preach to a small group because I don't have to worry about if there's any unbelievers. Isn't that a horrible thing to say? My. When God speaks to you, brother, that is the greatest thing. It's the greatest thing. That's where you can rest your soul. You can go on that. Ignore all the circumstances. Ignore all the problems you have. Ignore everything else. And just walk on that. But I don't feel it. Wonderful. She didn't have any sign of life. She had no sign of pregnancy at all. She never felt nothing. Everything had been just like it was. But she went telling everybody, I'm going to have a baby. Why? God said so. What's that? The royal seed of Abraham. That's the way Abraham's seed lives. That's how they act. God said so, I believe it. I'm going on now. Let me say it this way. Abraham's the father of the faith. Perfect in God's eyes, right? Let's look at Abraham's life just a little bit, shall we? Because if we looked at his life, we say, well, he doubted and he lied and he did all kinds of stuff. What made him perfect? Because in his soul, his predestinated seed, God spoke it, that life came, that faith came to life, and he never doubted that part of it. Never did. You know, Brother Brandon likes to talk a lot how God came and speaking to Abraham, and he said, where's your wife Sarah? And the tent behind you, she's going to have a baby, you know, and she laughed up her sleeve. And God said, why did she laugh? And then she lied, said, I didn't laugh. He brings that up a lot. You know what he doesn't mention very often? I don't know why. That when God told Abraham, you're going to have a... You know what Abraham did? He fell on his face and laughed right in front of God. He did. Genesis 17, I believe. Go read it. He laughed. How could... Yeah, whatever. We can't have a baby. Father of faith, never doubted it. Once it got anchored in his heart, it was there. And he could run and do this, and he can go do that, but that was always there. God said, here's my perfect son right there. That's righteousness. That's my righteous son. Because he never doubted. Isn't that something? I'm gonna quit here pretty soon, I believe, because my voice is just a nightmare. But I read this Sunday. And I just didn't have time to get in it, so I want to read a little bit again and talk about it a little more. This is, again, a church aid book. said, to pick up your pen and write. He said, here's what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction is that each species bring forth after its own kind, even according to Genesis 1:11, what we just read. Each species brings forth after its own kind. The human being is supposed to bring forth human beings. Sons of God bring forth sons of God. Sons of the devil bring up sons of the devil. It's got to be. God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed. I'm just going to skip that to save time. Whatever life was in the seed came forth into a plant and thence into fruit. The very same law applies to the church today. Whatever seed started the church will come forth and be like the original seed because it is the same seed. Whatever seed started the church at Pentecost, it will come forth and bring forth back to the original. Because it was the original seed, it has to come back. So we need to have the pure seed. That's why the message came, to restore to us the pure seed. That's why we had to have the message. That's why nobody else who doesn't have the message can have the pure seed, because it took the prophet to reveal it, to bring it back. And if you don't have the pure seed, you cannot bring forth the pure life. You can only bring forth denominational life, hybrid life that has death, and that will not produce a rapture. Can't. And before that rapture ever happens, that pure seed is going to take us all the way back to Eden, to all that Adam lost, restored to us. That's where we're at tonight. That's where we are currently at tonight. We are having everything Adam had lost is being restored to us through the Word. Are we completely there yet? I don't think so. I don't know. But it's happening. Don't confess anything else. Excuse me. In these last days, the true bride church, which is Christ's seed, will come to the headstone. Think of it, the pyramid coming up, right? Smaller and smaller, the headstone coming down, and the headstone sitting there, and we come to it, and so that when we actually, that headstone and the pyramid meet, there's absolutely no seam there. You could not put a piece of paper between it, it's so tight. You couldn't stick the sharpest knife. You can't get nothing. There's no way to separate them. Why? Because they have been united. Oh, my. They've been united. Christ and the bride united. They have become one. There is no way to split them up because there's a split there. It can't happen. It's not a super gorilla glue holding them together. There's no glue. It's just they become one flesh. You cannot cut you in half and have two people. You're one person. That's how close we are. That's the bride's inheritance. We have become one with the headstone. And when we're one with the headstone, that means the rest of the body has been perfected, because we're all one, all the way back to the original, to the beginning. Perfection. Christ and the bride has become one. You can't separate them. Try to get Christ out of you right now. It's impossible. You might grieve him away, but he's not leaving your soul. His presence will leave you. He says this, they will come to the headstone and she will be the super church, a super race, as she nears him. I remember years ago, I think about the first time I read that, I said super church, super race. And I was just like astounded. Oh my goodness, we have to be super people. How in the world are we going to, how do we become super? We're going to have a cape and fly around and do mighty exploits. Let me tell you something. You want to see someone super? Go back and look at Abraham. Go back and look at Adam before the fall. There's a super race. Look at Jesus. He was the beginning of this super race in this church. That cornerstone of it. But now Adam, before the fall, and Jesus were not exactly like you and I. They're in sinless bodies. Jesus had to be that way so he could be the perfect sacrifice to die for our sins. Abraham was not in a sinless body. That's why he made all the mistakes he made. Guess what part we play? We're like Abraham. We make mistakes. You are a super race right now. You know, they were beating this one, the originator of the super race one time. So he said, I'm going to find out who this guy really is. They beat him until you couldn't even recognize him as being a human being. Say, like, that don't look very super to me. They hung him on a cross, hanging there in agony, crying out in pain, miserable. All the sin of the world on him. Satan's looking at him and says, ain't looking like no super race to me. Look at that old miserable guy die. You couldn't harm him. You couldn't kill him. He'd come right back to life. Super race. You look at yourself sometime and you think, boy, I sure don't look like a Superman. I sure don't feel like I'm very super right now. Sometimes I feel anything but super. Sometimes I feel like the weakest Christian there is. But the Word says I'm super. What makes you super? Because your soul has already won the greatest battle ever fought. You've already won. You've already accepted the Word. You've been impregnated by the very Son of God. You can only bring forth Christ. And whatever Christ brings forth is a super race, and he's doing it through your flesh, through that earth that he's replenishing. The life in you that's coming forth is a super race. It is not mixed with anything else, and it's impossible. Glory to God. It's impossible for it to be mixed anymore. It's too late. You have become a super race because you cannot mix with another race. That makes you pure. That makes you super. You're a pure race. You're not a hybrid. You're not a mix. Oh, that makes me happy. Oh my, you cannot be anything else. What makes a super race that's never been mixed? It cannot be mixed. It's too late. You've been with the Son. You've been with the male, and you've taken his seed, and it's brought forth life. And your flesh is being renewed. This earth is being replenished. Why? By the life that's coming forth, that's living through you. It's Jesus Christ himself, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is on flesh, on earth, walking in human flesh, a super race. A seed that can't be mixed. Glory to God. What Adam lost is ours. He gave that up. He surrendered that. We've got it back. That commission will be fulfilled. You will be fruitful and multiply and replenish this earth. It's happening right now. I'm going to talk about going out and have a bunch of people. I'm talking about right now in your flesh. It's happening. A super race can't be mixed. My. I tell you what, that was worth coming to church for me. Glory to God. Well, do you feel anything, Brother Phil? I feel happy right now. Why? Because of an emotion that swept over me? No, because I see the truth. I see the Word. I see it being manifest. I see Jesus Christ living today. I see a pure bride who cannot be mixed, who cannot be hybrid, who cannot be listening to the world. She cannot accept any more seed because she's already gone past that point. It's too late. You're going into rapture, folks. You might as well just start believing it. Yes, sir. Oh my, I think I can quit now. The greatest battle ever fought has already been won.
Because you have accepted the word and you said, be it unto me according to, oh, I never said that, brother. Oh, quit. You know what I'm talking about. You accepted the word that was preached. You accepted the word that came to you and it came down and you knew it was the voice of God speaking and you said, that's mine. I believe it. I repent. I accept it. And it brought forth life and it sealed off your wound. I can say it 100 more times. It doesn't get old, brother and sister. You accepted it. And even though you don't feel anything, sometimes you don't feel anything, right? You get up sometime in the morning, it's like, oh boy, I sure don't feel like doing anything. I don't feel like a Christian. I don't look like a Christian. Wow, whatever. Has nothing to do with it. The battle is won. The victory's been won. Christ has his bride. Eliezer went and got the bride. He brought her, what did he do? He brought her the word and she's accepted it. She said, I want to know this Isaac. And she's accepted him and they've come together. They've been married. You have a husband? His name's Jesus Christ. You say the battle been won. Does that mean the battle, we don't fighting anymore? No, it's going to get harder than ever. It is. Look at all the battles you've been through. It's going to be harder in the future. We're going to go through hard times. We're all going to individually go through it. We're going to go through it as a body. We got hard times ahead of us until we get out of here. Satan is not going to let up. He sits there and listens to what I'm preaching now. He says, yeah, I'll make you think the battle's over. I'll take you through some burdens and battles and trials that you never went through before. Yep. Has nothing to do with it. You're already sealed away. He's just molding our character. Let's stand. Brother and sister, I challenge you to believe that, what the word says about you. Let that sit there. If it hasn't dropped from your mind into your soul, you just ponder these things and you pray about it. Because it has to be more than just in mind. It has to be more than just, well, Brother Phil preached, I really believe that's true. It's got to be more than up here. It's got to drop down in here where it becomes a living thing. Your soul feeding on that word and taking that seed and getting it planted and watering that and letting that spirit bring it up to life. Until it just becomes not your second nature, your first nature. Just who you are. Let it happen, brother, sister. When those doubts come in and say, well, I'm not sure. Boy, once I get to a little bit holier life, once I really get to, ain't going to happen. All right? It's not going to happen that way. You want to live a holier life? You know what you do? You just love Jesus Christ more. Don't be polishing up this flesh. Just love him more. You'll find out you love the things of the world less. It really works that way. Promise you. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Father, that you would come and speak, Lord, and just quicken this word to us, Father, that you preached so long ago. The prophet was here, and now we see the reality, and it just comes fresh and clear every day. And Lord, we're so grateful. Oh, Father, we're so grateful that you love us so much, that you would take time and just a few people here tonight, Lord, and yet you condescend and come down and cared enough about us to give us this word. Father, not just a preaching of a doctrine, but a revelation of reality, Lord. Dropping into our hearts and helping us to see more clearly, Lord Jesus, this great plan and how we play a part in this great plan. And all you saying, all you want is just to keep going forward. Just speak and go forward. The word's been planted. It's been impregnated. This womb has been closed off. Now we're just fighting the battle all the way through to the end. The word is pure. Oh, hallelujah. The word is pure. Thank you, Jesus. A super race has been birthed onto this earth. and the world and Satan and make believers and message believers laugh and make fun and criticize and find fault. But that little Mary, she didn't care. She just walked down the street and people said things about her, especially when they started seeing that she had been pregnant. They started calling her all kinds of names. And when her son was born, they called him a bastard-born child. They called him all kinds of things. She just went about her business. She knew what had happened. And brother, and Lord Jesus, your bride knows what has happened. We've been pregnated. Thank you, Jesus. The word is pure. I just pray you go with us now, Lord. Meet our needs, Lord. There's a lot of pollen and allergies and colds and sniffles and Lord Jesus, we just ask you to just keep us healthy. It's your will for us to be healthy. Give us spiritual health. Give us mental health, emotional health, and physical health, Lord, that we can manifest your life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Again, we ask this all in your name. Amen. God bless you, brother and sister. We're just going to sing a little song as we go. I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart.